Well, good morning and welcome to the 10 o'clock service, folks. We are we're going to be streaming all three services live today, and that means that anything I say can and will be used against me. We usually pick the best of the third service, and that's what gets sent to the best of three service is usually what's going to go home to all of our guests watching at home. And so, but hey, anything could happen. If you've been around North Point long enough, you know that sometimes I come off the script, but I try not to do that today, but I'm excited that you chose to join us online. Thank you for being here with us today. I just want to thank you for, again, always wearing your masks and as we move through the campus, but once you're socially distant in your seats, feel free to take your mask off if you're comfortable doing that. We have set you far enough away from a lot of people so that you can enjoy that. So, but today I have a very important announcement for you. It's also a very exciting news for me. And so I want to share with you an important announcement for you, and it also has a very exciting announcement for me. So here's the important news for you, is that yesterday, my daughters went to they're 17 years old, they're twins. They went to a testing site yesterday to get tested for their final driver's license test, and they have passed their final driver's license test. And so now the DMV opens on Tuesday because it's Labor Day weekend. They open on Tuesday. We take this piece of paper into the DMV with all of our other go-get-and-gather stuff that they want you to have, and they will leave officially with their driver's license. And so this is an important announcement for you because this weekend will be your opportunity to run any errand that you might need to make. Because come Tuesday, the game changes for all of us. I say that in jest because my daughters know that I actually think they're wonderful drivers. I'm very proud of them. I'm so grateful for my sister, Jessica, my bride, who just really poured in hours and hours behind the wheel. I don't have the fortitude for that. It was really scaring me in the beginning. But now I drive with them with a lot of confidence. And so I'm excited about what they're going to do. And so it's an important announcement for you because on Labor Day weekend, things begin to change for you. But it's an exciting announcement for my bride and I because this signifies, with all of our three children, this signifies the end of the chauffeur service that Janet and Steve provide. If you're a parent of teenagers, you absolutely know how important and valuable that is. We feel like we've been driving our kids around for absolutely ever. As a matter of fact, I think it's ironic and kind of fortuitous, I guess, that it was on Labor Day that my wife and I get to remove our chauffeur responsibilities, but it was on another Labor Day where my wife gave birth to our son that it began our chauffeur responsibilities. 20 years ago almost now when Seth was born. And so, and that was the day that our lives changed forever. Just to let me tell you the story, if you don't mind, of how that day went down. Seth was due to be born sometime in January, the first couple weeks of January. And here it was, the end of December. Janet went for her appointment and the doctor said, hey, your blood pressure's up. I want you to go to the hospital and just have have the baby checked out, make sure everything's okay. So she calls me. And I'm like, okay, what's this mean? Are you having a baby? She goes, no, they're just going to check the vitals, and I'm sure I'll be home. And so I was out doing my regular work at my job at the time, and it wasn't about an hour later that the phone rang, and my wife said, the doctor said they're admitting us and admitting me, and we're going to have a baby today. And I remember where I was. I was on I-275 at Hillsborough Avenue. You know where Seminole Heights Baptist Church is, the big steeple right there? I mean, we were right there. As a matter of fact, that was the place that my wife and I got married, and that was the place that I heard that today's the day you're going to be like I'm going to hold a baby in my hand today, you know? We prepared for it 9 months. I mean, we knew that we were parents, but boy, this was like this was our Labor Day. I mean, this was it. And so Janet says, go get our stuff. And so, man, I get off the interstate ramp, and I set a new land speed record on I-275 heading back to Pasco County just to get all our stuff. Now, we weren't ready for it. I mean, and my wife is so proactive. She had the go bag, you know, with all the things that she would need. But I had been lazy and thinking I got plenty of time. And, man, the car seat had wrapping paper on it in the box and the whole nine yards. And so I'm, like, throwing everything I can, just stuffing it into the back of the car, this gigantic car seat, you know, the assembly. These boxes are this big. And I'm shoving it into the back of the car. And I make my way to the hospital. And, man, sure enough, man, that day we got to see my little boy. Now he's going to be 20 years old in Christmas. It's so hard to believe. Now that day was full of emotions. And if you remember the first time that you brought a little one into the world, if those of you that have kids, you'll understand how that day felt. And there's a lot to that day that was a blur, but there's some things that I will absolutely never forget. One of the things that I will never forget is that that first drive home from the hospital. Anyone remember that first drive home with the baby in your car? That's a weird feeling, you know. You're like, okay, I'm responsible for like this little tiny thing to get, you know, point A to point B safely. And I remember, this is how it went down. The nurse walked into our hospital room, and she said, all right, we're going to go ahead and prepare you for discharge, and is everything ready for the baby to go home in the car? And she looks to me, and she said, is everything set up for the car for the baby? And I'm just like, yeah, yeah. And she says, well, that's good, because I can't tell you how many stupid fathers come in here, and the car seat is in a box in the back seat of their car, and we take the baby and mommy down to the car, and there's like 2 hours in the hot blazing sun while dad tries to figure out how to put the stupid car seat in the back of the car. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that's happened. And I'm like, oh, really? Terrible people, you know. And so she leaves the room, and I look to Jana, and I say, honey, I'll be right back. So I bolted out to the car, and I began the process that she was describing. But I wasn't about to let her see. As a matter of fact, I looked over my shoulder many times to make sure she wasn't peering out the window going, aha! You know, and I knew that was the guy that was one of these people that did that. And I remember unpacking the car seat and ripping the box open, and it was a windy, windy day that day, and packing things like the bag and all kinds of material just blowing across the parking lot. So not only am I dealing with it, but I'm hoofing my butt across the parking lot trying to deal with catching all the stuff. And I was so frustrated with this, how the process was going. I'm sure I was quoting scripture and praying the whole time. I'm sure I wasn't letting my mind wander to negative things at all. But I mean, it was I was struggling getting this stupid thing. And on the box, it says, now with a new improved easy seat connection system, something to that effect. And I'm like, they lied. That's all that was one big bold print lie on top of a box, because this was not easy to do, and it took me forever to figure out how to do it. Multiple failed attempts where that car seat just looks like it's barely hanging in there, and I'm thinking, I can't put a baby in this, much less let the nurse see this, because I'm the dad that was all prepared, so to speak. And so I wrestled with it, finally got it to the best I could possibly do, and I go back inside a little disheveled and sweaty to my bride, and she says, is everything okay? I said, yeah, we're good to go. So they take Seth and I and Jana down in the wheelchair, and they get the baby loaded in, and as soon as she put the baby in, I could just see the seat kind of sag, and I'm thinking, oh, don't let this baby fall on the floorboard the first time we take it home. But Jana sat in the back seat next to the baby, and I thought, it'll be her mistake. It'll be her fault if the baby falls, because she's right there. She should be the one to catch it. So, I remember as I close the back door of the car, she looks at me and she says, this kind of feels loose. And I just shut the door. And I'm going to be fine. This is the best I can do, darn it. This is the best I know how to do with this stupid car seat. And so we ended up driving out of the hospital parking lot. Remember the speed bumps? Do you have your idea that there's that many speed bumps until you have a baby, newborn baby in your car, you're realizing how many speed bumps are in a hospital parking lot? Like, who was the brainchild that did this? So we get on to Dale Mabry Highway. I refused to take the interstate home that day because I didn't want to be in a high-speed, you know, kind of situation with a newborn baby in the car. So I decided to go from St. Joseph's Hospital all the way to Land O'Lakes using Dale Mabry. And you might remember the day. It was like January the 2nd at this point. And you might remember the day if you remember this. But I think it was the day that there was this all-call announcement that everyone got on their mobile devices and emails and everything. It says, if you are an idiot driver that doesn't have any capacity to be kind or you're a reckless person, please go to Dale Mabry Highway at this appointed time and go north. Because that's who I was convinced was with me on the highway that day. Every dumb driver. And so, yes, sure enough, I was on Dale Mabry going north, going 10 miles below the speed limit, which everyone loves that. Don't you raise your hand? Love everyone just dropping below the speed limit. I'm that guy. I hate that person, but I become that guy because I wanted to make sure that my son got home carefully. I remember feeling every bump and my wife saying, honey, don't hit the bumps. I'm like, that's virtually impossible. That's not very helpful. Having a really great conversation. I remember checking my rearview mirror like 10,000 times to make sure no one was tailgating me. I can still see Jana holding Seth's little chin up to make sure that he wasn't getting his neck caught on the buckle of the car seat. And I remember swerving to miss every pothole that I could possibly see. And there was no greater relief than the moment that we pulled into our driveway and I thought, okay, good, we're home. And I didn't kill him. Can you relate to that story? Does anyone remember the first time that you brought a baby home to the house? And I tell you that story not just to be silly, but I tell you that story with a really important reason. Because that day, Jana and I's lives were radically changed. We were different. And not only were we different, but both Jana and I were 100% aware of Seth's presence in our life. We were 100% aware, both of us, of this newborn baby's presence in our lives. Did you hear that? Because there's a connection that I want to make when it relates to that, and that has to do with your spiritual life with God. That there was a day when you were newborn in Christ, you were rebirthed, and when you first came to faith in Jesus Christ, that you were born again into this world. And when you were born again to this world, the Holy Spirit gives you his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and resides inside of us. And in that day, when you first give your heart to God, you are 100% fully aware of his presence in your life. Just like we were with the baby, the same way it was when we first came to faith in Jesus Christ. And everything that we did as parents was proof of our knowledge and the evidence and awareness that Seth was with us. And everything that we did as new believers, and you too, that you did shortly after you became a believer, everything you did was evidence of your awareness of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. So what if today you and I could live with 100% awareness that God was with us? How would our life be different? Are you still at that place of attachment to God that when you first became a believer and he took up residence inside your life and you were fully aware of his presence? Or as time passed, like with us, as Seth has grown older, now we're just lucky if he's in the car when we take off, right? I mean, you know, like, is everyone there? We don't even really look. We just make sure no one says, "Where's Seth?" You know, I mean, as the kids get older, right? But our spiritual life can be that way, that we can somehow over some time start to take for granted God's presence or forget that he's fully present with us. And so today my goal of this message is just to try to help you increase your awareness of God's presence in your life, to recognize his activity in your life, and to recognize and encourage you to make yourself available to God. Because if you're fully aware that God's presence is with you everywhere you go and everything that you do, and we make ourselves available to God, our lives will be radically different and radically changed. So to begin with, I want to talk to you about a couple of theological terms you may have heard before, maybe the first time you'll ever hear these words. But they're kind of complicated words, but they express God's attributes. And we'll look at two today, and the third one you'll actually use in your Go Deeper. And they're the attributes of God that start with the word omni. We have omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. And those three things, omnipotence will be in your Go Deeper, but today I want to talk about God's omnipresence and God's omniscience. And so God's omnipresence, what does that mean? It means that God is everywhere present. That means that God is not bound by time or of space. And this applies to eternity past and eternity future. There is nowhere that you can go that God is not there. That is God's omnipresence. His omniscience, the other word, is that God is all-knowing. His all-knowing, his knowledge is not bound also by time and space. He knows what's happened in the past, in eternity past, and he knows what will happen eternity future. He knows things that have yet to be spoken of things that will be one day be spoken. God has a knowledge, an intimate knowledge, an all-knowing knowledge, an omniscient knowledge. And so God's omnipresent and God is omniscient. God is everywhere present and God is all-knowing. So my question to you is, do you know that to be true? And a second question, which is similar, but it's very different, do you believe that to be true? Number one, do you know it to be true? Cognitively, can you wrap your brain around the fact, although it's hard to understand that God is everywhere present and that God is all-knowing, do you cognitively understand that? But my question for you, really, the bigger question is, do you believe that is true? Because if we truly believe it's true, that will impact everything that we choose to do. Here's an example of that. There's many people in the room today that I know would say, I know that God is omniscient and I know that God is powerful. But I would challenge you that you don't believe it. And here's why I would challenge you that. Because there's still some people in the room, even today, that maybe even last night, they have fallen victim and allowed themselves to try to go to a hiding place in order to commit a sin. To go behind closed doors or on a recent business trip or alone in your car or after your family has gone to sleep, or on a fictitious email or private account, that you've set yourself up in a place that you think I can hide from God in order to accomplish this sin. You and I have a knowledge that God is omniscient, all-knowing. You and I have a knowledge that God is present, everywhere present, but yet there's something about a disconnect in our belief that allows us to go and think we can go to a dark place or a private place or a hidden place where we would be able to bring ourselves to certain sins that we would have never done in God's presence. But yet, we're still in God's presence. Oh, the mystery of life and how we do that. So here, I want you to write this down. There is no such thing as hidden or secret sin. Did you hear me? There is no such thing as hidden or secret sin because there's no place you can go to escape God's presence. There's no place you can go to escape God's knowledge of everything that you've done. And since God is omnipresent and God is omniscient, hidden sin is not hidden from God. It may be hidden from your wife. It may be hidden from your parents, but it is not hidden from God. It's so important. It's imperative. My goal today is to help you have a conscious awareness. This is specifically to believers, that as believers who've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit resides inside of you. There is nowhere you can go that He is not with you and fully aware of what is happening in your life. God knows everything you've done, and God knows everything that you're doing. And today it's my prayer that there would be a conviction inside the hearts of those that are choosing to live in a hidden sin and realize today that you're not hidden at all, and that God would expose that and convict your heart today so that you can repent and ask for forgiveness and be restored. I think the person of the Bible who probably learned this lesson so clearly in Scripture, it was written out for us to see the story of King David when he sins with Bathsheba. And King David, when everyone was out of town, he decides he wants to have an adulterous affair with this married woman. And he sets up all the circumstances, and he's doing it what he thinks under the cover of being hidden, although I think the people that work for him clearly knew what was going on. But he thought he was all slick and cool, and he was doing this, hiding. But unfortunately, it was not for his sake that God was fully aware. His hidden sin was not hidden. As a matter of fact, God would use a prophet to come to David and use a metaphor and illustration to be able to help David understand of what God can see and what God is aware of. And boy, when this prophet finally told David, man, David, God sees what you have done. It convicted and broke his heart. And when you read through the Psalms, which David penned many of those words, when you read through the Psalms, you can see over and over again, David cries out and celebrates God's omniscience, God's omnipresence, because David has learned in a fresh way that, man, I can't outrun God. There's no hidden sin in God's economy. God understands everything that I'm doing, and I am never outside of His presence. One of my favorite psalms, and maybe for you too, is Psalms 139. And I want to read to you about 18 verses of that. I'm just going to stop and pause. This is King David writing, and as he writes these things, he's just pointing out God's omnipresence. And God's we'll talk about God's omnipotence as well, but it's also His omniscience. And so let's just read together, and we'll let some of those things kind of bubble up together. And so Psalms 139, verses 1 and 2. It says, O Lord, You've examined my heart, and You know everything about me. Not only my heart, but You know when I sit down, You know when I stand up, and You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away from You. Do you see it, God's omnipresence? Do you see in here His omniscience? Do you see that God is all-knowing? David's not using those words, but this is what he's communicating to us, is that, God, You know all this stuff about me. He goes on to say in verse 3, he says, Lord, You see me when I travel. Businessman, businesswoman in the room today, God sees you when you travel. You may be out of the view of your family, but God sees you when you travel. David says, You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. There's His omnipresence. He's everywhere. There's His omniscience. He knows everything. Verse 4, David says, God, you know what I'm going to say before I even say it. That's all knowing, folks. That God knows the things that are on your heart. He discerns the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. He knows what you are going to say before you even speak it. David goes on in verse 5, You go before me and You follow me. God's not bound by time and space in His omnipresence and His knowledge. You've placed Your hand of blessing upon my head. And that knowledge is just too wonderful for me to understand. It's too great for me to comprehend. That You're everywhere present and that You're all-knowing. Our minds explode trying to wrap ourselves around that. David goes on to say in verse 7, I can never escape from your spirit. There's no such thing as hidden sin. I can never get away from your presence. As a matter of fact, if I go up to heaven, and obviously you're there, but if I go down to the grave, well, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning and I dwell at the farthest oceans, I mean, I go to the farthest reaches of the seas, you're there. Even your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Do you see he's everywhere present? Do you see he's all-knowing? Do you see he's all-powerful? David's just trying to write this loving statement to God, but it's a declaration of these attributes of God. He says, God, he goes on in verse 13, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know that. Hey, Lord, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. When I was in my mom's belly, you were watching me everywhere present. Fully aware, fully present, not bound by time or space, while I was woven together in the dark womb. You saw me before I was born, and you saw every day of my life. It was recorded, every moment was laid out, because God's knowledge understands the decisions and choices that you're going to make today, tomorrow, and in the future. God knows these things intimately about you. His omnipresence, he's everywhere. His omniscience, he's all-knowing. His omnipotence, he's all-powerful. Wish I could continue to read this, but I'm going to read two more verses and then we'll kind of draw some applications. Verse 17, oh Lord, how precious are your thoughts about me, because they can't be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, you're still with me. My job today is to do my best with the communication strength I have, which is not much, to somehow communicate to you today, to raise your awareness of the fact that the Holy Spirit is with you. You cannot go outside of God's presence, and he is with you. If you're a non-believer, meaning you don't know anything about church, or you haven't decided what you believe about God and all those things, the Holy Spirit and God is still omnipresent. He's still there. He is still everywhere present, and he's still omniscient. He knows the decisions and choices of your life, and right now the Holy Spirit has a different role in your life. The Holy Spirit right now, through his moral persuasive power, is trying to draw you to him, to try to get your attention so that you would surrender your life to him, so that the grand exchange would take place. You give your life to God and he will impart and implant in you the Holy Spirit to be able to live and navigate and help you navigate your life. But it's not just that the Holy Spirit doesn't come in our life just for our benefit. The Holy Spirit comes in our life for a purpose. The Holy Spirit comes in our life in order to be able to use us for his purpose and for his glory. I want to talk more about that in a minute, but before we do, my goal today is to help you be aware of his presence. And number two, make yourself available. Once you know that he's there, it's not just to help you with the things and choices of your life, but it's also there for a kingdom purpose, to increase your awareness of God's presence in your life and to make yourself available to him. Many of you know Dr. Charles Stanley. I love to listen to his teaching over the years, but he's been a great communicator. And in one of his writings, I stumbled across this years ago and highlighted it, and it just came to my mind as I was preparing for today's message. And so let me read to you a statement that he makes that really hit me hard back in like 1999. So the Holy Spirit is not some power to be harnessed or dispensed. He's not a candy machine. He's not a vending machine. The Holy Spirit is not a genie waiting for someone to rub a lamp in a certain way that the Holy Spirit would come out and be active for you. He is the Spirit of the Holy God living inside of us, giving us the power to accomplish the will of God in our life. Did you catch that? It's not just that he's in our lives to make our lives better so we can make wiser choices and live with fewer regrets, although that is a benefit of the Holy Spirit's guidance inside of us. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit living inside of us is to give us power to accomplish the will of God in our lives. The Holy Spirit, it's for many of us, I think that over time we treat the Holy Spirit much like we do our COVID masks. Is that we're going into a difficult situation where we're afraid of the circumstances and the things that we're dealing with. So we're like, okay, God, Holy Spirit, I'm going to need some help on this one. And we put this thing on. Dun, da, da. And we finally become like, oh, good grief. I knew that was going to happen. This is fantastic. Hold on just a second. Don't you love masks? But we put our masks on when we think we need it. And for many of us, myself included, I've been guilty of that. That I think that the Holy Spirit is something I activate when I need it. There's something I put on when I need protection. There's something I put on when I need guidance. There's something I put on when I need courage. There's something I put on when I need strength. Charles Stanley saying, man, it's nothing that you put on. The Holy Spirit is not something you activate and deactivate, especially when you want to get off the grid. Some of you, you're like, well, I know the Holy Spirit's with me, but from what I'm getting ready to do for the next 2 hours, I'm going to go ahead and put him in my back pocket. Folks, this is not what God desires in your life. The Holy Spirit is fully present with you. You cannot outrun him, and you cannot hide from him. There is no such thing as hidden sin. So how would your life be different if you put this into practice right now in your life and realize, man, there's no hidden sin. God's fully aware. But not just in the area of sin, but in the area of counsel, of how he guides you to make the decisions and choices of your life. But not just in counsel, but there's a job that the Holy Spirit has for you and for I, all believers. There's a purpose for your life on this planet. And the Holy Spirit was given to you to help guide you and equip you and strengthen you and point you and invite you to join him in that holy calling that God has prepared in advance for you. We sometimes think that our life is that the Christian life is just about, let me get saved and then let me live my life the best that I can. Let me raise my kids the best I can, the fear and admonition of God. Let me attend church. Let me be faithful in my stewardship. Let me live my life by doing my best. But hear me clearly, God did not put you on earth just to do your best. He didn't give you the Holy Spirit just to do your best. Because just doing your best, you can do that without the Holy Spirit. If that was the whole purpose of us, just to do our best, then God wouldn't have had to give us the Holy Spirit. He gave us power for a purpose. And when we act like it's just something that's there for our benefit, then we are abusing what God has done. Listen, it's really, there's a sad reality. If we live our lives unmindful of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life and him inviting us to work with him, if we live our life unmindful of the Holy Spirit's presence and his invitation to join him, then you and I will accomplish very little that has eternal consequences and eternal impact. Yes, we will do things in our temporal life. We will accomplish things and we will do things that will be notable, no doubt. And we will raise a good family and maybe earn a good income and maybe leave a legacy when we pass away. All those things are great on this temporal earth, but God did not give you the Holy Spirit just so that you can live a good life on this earth. When you and I live our lives unmindful of the Holy Spirit's presence and the Holy Spirit's calling to activate you and to serve him, you and I will only do what is just temporal. And we will never do the thing that is eternal. We'll accomplish very little that will last for eternity. I don't know about you, but when I think about a thought like that, I think to myself, there's a bigger purpose for my life. And I want that purpose. I want you to want that purpose. I want you to raise your awareness that God is with you, not only just to help you with your life and the day-to-day things, but for a greater purpose, to activate you for something eternal. One of the greatest ways for you to be activated for something eternal is for being someone who would share your testimony and your story with someone who doesn't know Christ and to help them come to that place where they surrender their life to him. Because once they surrender their life to him, they are saved eternally from the judgment of sin and separation from God in their lives. You see how it works? The Holy Spirit will give you and nudge you the people that you're supposed to share your story with and have an incredible eternal fruit. Listen, the Holy Spirit is not something that you use. Are you hearing that today? He is someone that wants to use you. Did you hear me? The Holy Spirit is not something that you use. The Holy Spirit is someone who wants to use you. But if you don't recognize his presence in your life, you will miss those holy invitations to do something greater than you thought ever possible in yourself. So how available are you to God right now? Are you aware of his presence in your life? And have you made yourself available to him? Do you hear his call? Are you listening to hear him call you, to invite you to that sacred responsibility with eternal implications? And are you willing to say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I'm available. And I want you to use me. Seth and Janet and I, as we would get older, we would eventually have three kids that we would drive around. And no doubt when the twins were born, we had that same level of concern as we drove home that first day. We had a heightened awareness of their presence in our lives. But as time went on, we grew less and less focused on that, as I told you in the beginning. And it's easy to just return to our old previous ways. You know, now my wife, when she drives, you know, with the kids in the car, she'll speed through a school zone or a parking lot. You know, that's what she does. She's not here this service, and so, oh, but it's recorded. So, if she's watching, then this is probably a bad thing, but but here it's been almost 20 years now that we had that first encounter where we were really fully both aware of Seth's presence in our life. And through that time, we've learned as a married couple, we've seen God. We've had moments in our lives where God's just been so real. Have you had that, husbands and wives? Do you have that moment with your spouse where you're like, man, God was so real? And through our marriage, man, we've been married 25 years. We dated 7 years before we got married. So over the 32 years that we've been together, there's been times that we've been really intimate with God and we've seen his presence and he's called us to do things that are greater than ourselves, eternal things, and boy, it felt amazing. But there's also been seasons where we have grown too accustomed that he's with us and we've used him as the mask. You know, we put him away when we don't want him and we've activated him when we needed him. So it's not the way we want to live our lives, right? But recently, we're now in this new world of cancer in our family. You know that. And as much as we hate the circumstance that we're in, we're calling upon God to be a healer, and we believe that he has all the power to do that, and we're just giving him all the faith. My children and my family, there's no season that compares to the one that we're in right now, and I can tell you that my daughters and my son, my wife and I, we are fully present, we are fully aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. Because if we weren't fully aware of his presence, we'd be collapsing under the pressure of the things that we've dealt with and the things that we face outside of God stepping in to do the miraculous, which we believe he can do. We've seen him move mountains. And while we hate our circumstances, we love what it's done in the area of closeness and intimacy with our Father. I wouldn't wish this upon anyone. But I do wish that you would all experience what it's like to be fully aware of God's presence and power working in and through your life and being activated to join him in something kingdom-minded that will last in eternity. I remember as I was praying, if you know my wife, you know that she's a very private person. Many of you have been members of this church and probably don't even know who my wife is because she's just a behind-the-scenes person. She doesn't want to be the director of any ministry. She doesn't want to be in the front cover of anything. She doesn't want her photo taken. I have to get everything approved if I put anything out, you know, because she's a private person. But under one of my prayer times, I felt like God nudged me and says, you know, Steve, all that you guys are going through, I think it would be wise for you and your wife to just make a video and kind of help people understand what's going on in your life. And I thought, oh, man, there's no way Jana's going to go for that, God. But I felt like he prompted me to do that. And so that night I went to her and said, hey, so when I was praying, I kind of felt like God was saying that maybe you and I should make a video about some of the emotions and what we're learning about God through this season. To which she replies, he told me the same thing this morning. And I said, oh, so we're doing this? And she's like, we better do it quick before I say no. So he came in my office, nobody was there, using my iPhone camera, put up a backdrop and said, all right, we're going to make one video. We're not going to start and stop this thing. We're just going to talk. If we get too emotional, we'll quit. And so we were faithful to doing that thing, and we put it online. And I can't tell you how many people have reached out to encourage us, But I can tell you over 3,000 people have watched that video. That's more than any one of our services would ever get viewed. That God took our obedience and maximized our obedience and multiplied our obedience to help people that we don't even know the names of, to bring them to a place of encouragement in the midst of darkness. To help them understand that you can have peace in the storm, but not just in a manufactured peace, but a peace that only comes through Jesus Christ. And I have to believe that there's someone out there who is going to come to faith in Christ and have an eternal consequence of their life being changed forever because of our obedience. But we're just average people like you are. And God wants all of us to do that very same thing. He's inviting all of us to join him. But the question is, are you aware of his presence? And are you listening for the invitation for him to call you into something greater than yourself, to something that's not temporal but yet eternal, to benefit the kingdom? Look, if he can use me, he can use you. If he can use anything, he can use you. If God could use a donkey, he could use you. Dr. Eric Bargerhoff, a good friend of mine, a member of our church, just wrote a book about all these different stories in the Bible that are just kind of bizarre stories. The title of the book is, Why Is That in the Bible? One of the stories that he covers there, he did an interview on the radio recently about it, was about the donkey, Balaam, and how God spoke through a donkey. Man, it's just a fascinating story. Read it in God's Word, but man, read his book. It's really a great insight to that. But I'm not here to promote a book. What I'm here to do is tell you this, that if God can use a donkey, he can use you. But don't make him use a donkey. Can I pray for you? Father, I'm grateful for this opportunity to be able to open your Word. And I know with everything in me, Father, that you have the capacity through the power of your Holy Spirit that is present in this room. Lord, the Lord is in this place. You are here because you're everywhere present. And for some, your presence is a drawing them closer to you. And for that student or for that woman or that man here today that is sensing that draw, may they in this final song, in these final moments, say, Lord, I'm available. I hear your call. Yes, use me, have me, take me as they surrender their life to you. And as you have that Holy Spirit move from just being around them in presence, but that it would move inside their heart, the Holy Spirit to live inside of them so that they can live with greater purpose. And to follow you and to accept the invitations you give us to do something eternal. Father, for my dear friends, brothers that are in the room that are believers, that have just gotten so used to your presence in their life that they forget and they've not amplified you recently and they use you as a tool and today they were convicted by that. Or some, Father, have realized they've been running and trying to hide from you and living in sin and they've been convicted by that. But Lord, it's my prayer that they have heard this message today and each one of us would repent from our sins for abusing you and the Holy Spirit, for thwarting you and your work in our lives. But that we would also, Father, raise our awareness of you to get our heart in the right posture to say, yes, I hear your voice, God. I'm aware of your presence in my life. I see the invitations that you're inviting me to join you. And I say, yes, I am available. Father, when we do that, may we not just recognize your presence that you're in this place, but when we recognize that you've been with us all through our lives up to this point. You've never forsaken us. Father, I'm so grateful for that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Would you-